Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Summer recess has ended, and since we've been off the digital platforms, a cost of living crisis has taken hold. A prime minister has been ousted. A new prime minister has come in on a wave of euphoria, sick curtsy, and a monarch has died. And a tiny man has risen from the ashes. James, he had COVID. That's why we weren't recording for 2 weeks. Welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast. And it is a special episode today because, as we've been trying to explain to some of the people in the room, just kind of trying to grasp the concept, it is the 400th edition of the Cool Shit newsletter. So now this is really confusing because what number podcast is this, James?
About 22.
22, right? Okay, so the newsletter has been going for around 8 years. The podcast, well, that's new, but this is the 400th edition. And because we have been a little bit slack and haven't been delivering the episodes each week, we thought we'd make this a bit of a special episode. So we have more people than ever today, and we have space for only one story. So James is going to run us through two stories that are stories that are definitely going in. And then we have a couple of teams here that are going to pitch their ideas, or their story rather, and see which one makes that final coveted slot for the 400th edition. So, on team one, do you have a name, team one?
We do. We're the Hot Girls.
Naturally.
Oh my God, that's what you came up with, the Hot Girls.
Hot Girls. Matt's shaking his head because that was going to be his name.
It's not the Hot Girls, just Hot Girls.
Just Hot Girls.
Okay.
Like I said, naturally.
Okay, fine. Gina from High Stakes Films.
Woo!
Kyra from Everywhere and Anything, Selford, Zach. High Stakes Films.
Hello, hello.
Part of the Hot Girls. And we have team two here. So we have Becky.
Hello.
How are you going?
Very well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. And we have the only man that's probably been here for all 400 editions of the Cool Shit newsletter. We have one of the founders of Zach. Matt, how are you going?
What up?
What up? You guys got a team name? Is it called What Up?
No, because it's not The Apprentice.
Okay, cool. You're What Up. Team What Up. Hot Girls versus Team What Up. And then talking of What Up, little chef? How you going, James?
Yeah, I'm all right. I enjoyed your pre-written introduction that you've clearly been working on for a couple of weeks.
2 minutes. 2 minutes just before before we started recording. But go on.
What do you mean, go on?
Well, I'm waiting for you to say something now.
You've
got nothing to say?
You come in flying at me.
You've got nothing to say.
I'll be honest, Gareth, I'm a bit out of practice. I haven't done this for about a month.
Let's just take a step back to be like civil. How are you feeling? Is the COVID gone?
Genuinely, I think it's made me stronger.
Okay, good. Because I noticed you went running back to mummy, didn't you? As soon as you got it.
I was invited to go running back to mummy.
So classic.
That's because I didn't want to endanger the people of London.
Very thoughtful.
You endangered your mum instead.
No, because he endangered the oldest.
Yeah.
Apart from his random flatmate, so you couldn't care less of. So, sticking to subjects, James, how have you been in terms of cool shit? Has it been a bit? I don't know. Have you been finding stories that you would have liked to talk about on the podcast, because obviously you've still been writing the Cool Shit newsletter. Do we feel like this is a good week for that? Would another week been a bit better? What are you saying?
There was a couple of really good weeks, and I was a bit disappointed that we couldn't talk about them, but I'm pretty happy with the lineup this week, to be honest, because I did think, just because this is like a 400th special, the universe doesn't know that, so it could have been absolutely dire, but there's quite a lot of stuff going on.
Okay, all right, good. So you're going to give us a preview of two stories that are definitely going in, so let's hear your first one then.
Okay, so to start this, I've also prepared a little something. I'd really appreciate it if you'd all join me in celebrating a true icon of British history, someone who was around long before anyone in this room was born, even Matt and Gareth. It's a person that they may have represented some questionable values in the past, but I think it's safe to say they've touched each of us in our lives in their own way, and despite being recently dearly departed, they'll never be forgotten. So if you join me in paying tribute to James Bond, I would really appreciate it.
Ah, to James Bond. Have you just done a... like, was that like a really long way? Obviously, I know what you did there. I know it was a rug pull. But you've also done a major spoiler, haven't you? Like, I mean, I don't know if anyone's seen the latest James Bond, but that feels like a spoiler.
Care.
You don't care?
Yeah, it's came out like a year ago. And also, apparently you enjoy films more if you know what's going to happen.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that true?
They did a study of two people went in. It was two groups went in to see a film that had a big twist ending, and one group was told the twist in advance, and that group came out consistently saying, like, rating the film much higher than the group who didn't know it.
All right, okay, so Bruce Willis is dead.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is dead in what's that film?
Sense. Die Hard.
Bruce Willis died as well.
Sixth Sense. I'm putting out, like, Kaiser Sose, he's Kevin Spacey. I'm just like ruining every sort of twist that's going. Anyway, how are we talking about this? Like, what are we talking about? Why James Bond?
Oh yeah, I forgot. I didn't actually say anything about the story. I got wrapped up my soliloquy. So the largest corn maze in the world is celebrating the 60th anniversary of 007. That's James Bond. With an elaborate Bond-themed makeover. I don't know if you've seen it, I've sent the stories around, but it is something to behold. It's about 25 acres wide, long, whatever you want to say.
So I looked at the picture and I did feel like, when I was looking at it initially, it felt like one of those sort of like scratch art things that looks like a piece of A4. And then I actually realised it's a huge, huge cornfield. And where is this? Where is this in the world?
Well, this is the thing, because it's in Illinois, so near Chicago, apparently. So firstly, I want to know the significance of James Bond to them there, and secondly, how is he so significant that they knew when the 60th anniversary was?
Well, so do we know why? Is there information in the story why they decided to celebrate James Bond?
I think it was meant to be... it turned out to be a poorly timed tribute to British culture, because the James Bond 60th anniversary was rather knocked off the front page by other events over the last week or so.
How is this making it into this conversation? Right, some random farm makes a fucking random corn maze, which is a celebration of James Bond's misogyny, because you've got five middle-aged men staring at some bird in a bikini.
Oh yeah,
that's the logo.
Like, I don't know why we're having this conversation. Is this is pinned on for cool shit this week? Like, this is pinned on by James only, right?
Fortunately, I've ruled with an iron fist.
Some harsh criticism from What Up.
That's straight team away. What Up.
Also, the one that's supposed to look like Sean Connery looks like Robbie Williams. Which one?
They've done a good job.
Yeah, exactly. We were exactly the same.
Yeah, it's not the best, is it?
No, it's not the best story.
28
no.
acres. It says James at the top. It's
that's
done with
why.
GPS tracking.
Oh, I see. It's because it's got your name on it.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought maybe I am Bond.
I do like the fire of the team structure here, because both of the teams are going to be pitching their story, and both teams are looking at the person that is ultimately deciding about what stories are cool or not, going like, what the fuck,
well,
man?
It's funny. You're right, though, because I did partially choose this to prod and provoke a bit, because for once I was given license to say this exactly, and to say exactly what's going in cool shit, and nobody gets a choice, and you can say whatever you want in the podcast, but it's still going in. So I thought I'd choose the most underwhelming thing.
Napoleon Complex coming out.
Okay, so what's the second story? Are you going to redeem yourself?
Well, that was a swing and a miss on story one. I'm starting to question my second story as well now. Right, Gareth, have you ever eaten algae?
Why is Gareth?
Are we still in the same pocket?
No, James, I feel like I'm doing a joke with my six-year-old. I mean, like, what? No, James, I have never eaten algae.
Well, soon you could, because you could buy Naked Pack, which is dissolvable, edible food packaging made out of algae.
Okay.
Environmental.
Okay, so
this guy's woke.
So is this a brand that's bringing us this? Is this from a certain brand, or is this a packaging brand that's going to be applied to different products?
The second one that you said. So it's a replacement for cling film. And I should mention that I fucking hate cling film, so this is partly driven by that. And it's...
you kind of need to see the video, because the video is particularly alarming with this, because this guy drops in a tubular object that almost sort of resembles like a uranium bar, and then he just pulls it out of boiling water and it's spaghetti bolognese. So okay. You can, so the packaging has like sauces and spices in it, so you just drop the packaging straight in. Oh, wow. So it's almost like a sort of clever ready, like, you know, you get the kind of meal
pot noodle. It's like,
yeah, it's all, but it's like meal prep, but you just put it straight in and it's and it emerges.
So
like
the
magic,
the algae can be flavored to
exactly
to deliver that flavor to the things contained within it.
Exactly that.
Now you're talking. Why are you? Why do you hate cling film so much?
I struggle with it.
Yeah, I can never unpick it.
I feel like they took out the plasticizers, I believe, to make it more environmental, and it's somehow too sticky and not sticky
what
enough
are you
at the
using
same time.
It for? How is it not? Sorry.
What am I using it for? Wrapping stuff up.
Yeah. Remains.
I thought so.
Leftover
people. Yeah. Okay, right, listen, I think like where we're at the moment, this feels to me like a product that would have a lot of uptake. I think, like, you know, this feels very like, this feels like good news, right? And it feels like a good use of new technologies.
I bet it comes delivered in plastic.
Nah. Yeah, it probably does, doesn't it?
Nah, it comes delivered in algae.
No, but what I mean is, like, you go and pick that up off the shelf from the supermarket, it's got to be packaged. You like, otherwise people will be,
yeah, they'll package the algae in more algae.
Really?
No, I think that's so. The thing. I think it's like, so, like, it's, you know, in the future I'll buy.
So I have to peel off the first layer of algae.
So they're saying in the article that people basically have to get used to kind of like a new way of preparing and consuming like meal type food in a similar way that you would do with like the raw ingredients. So if you get an apple off of a grocery shelf, you'll go home and you'll wash it before you eat it. So with this, you will wash like people's fingerprints and germs and stuff off it, and then you drop it in the boiling water.
So nice. You can't just actually eat it, can you? You can just like rip it off and put it in your mouth like the Cookie Monster.
Why do you want
it? Because that's what I thought when I first went. I'm like, wicked, yeah. Just like just extra bits of food when you're not quite hungry. Or
I mean,
like,
I guess
now
you,
I have a packet of crisps and then I eat the packet as well.
You finish a meal and then you think, oh, I want to nibble on that Tupperware.
Yeah, well, yeah, not necessarily Tupperware, because that's the point. This is flavoursome, right? It's flavoursome packaging.
Wow, that is cool. I'm just looking at it. Naked curry, a single portion of rice wrapped in Thai green curry algae.
It's clever, right?
Yeah, it's really
it
clever.
Is very clever.
That's the future right there.
Well, that's what I think the point of cool shit, it's not about mazes, is it? But the point about cool shit is, or one of the things that I've always enjoyed about cool shit is, when you see something and you feel like that is the future, and I feel like this has that possibility, right? And if you want to go back on all 400 editions, there will be plenty of things that didn't make it, and loads of things that have. I've read about loads of things on Cool Shit and read about it first and gone, all right, shit, that's just normal behaviour now. This is one of those things that I feel like perhaps in 2 or 3 years' time, I don't know if there's a patent on it. Like, I usually think it's good news when more than one person starts to do it, more than one company starts to buy into it, and that you then have, you know, people competing to make something like this, or, you know, rival products, which makes, you know, a better world, right?
Yeah, we're assuming that it isn't fucking horrible as well, though.
Mm. Yeah, the reviews on how it actually tastes.
Oh, have
yeah.
you got? Have you
no,
read reviews?
No, I'm asking.
Has That's what said? I'm thinking. Is this just like a, is this instead of a ready meal as opposed to like a, like an actual, a nice Thai green curry or something?
It's going to be expensive as well. So does it taste nice? It's definitely going to be expensive. It's probably going to be hijacked by the people that shop at like Air One in LA and, like, you know, paying 12 quid for a can of water or something like that. So I don't know. Let's give it some time until it hits the mainstream, eh?
Gwyneth Paltrow is definitely going to be selling it on her website.
100% sure. It's got Goose written all over it.
Oh, okay.
And Gwyneth Paltrow's...
Oh, yeah, special goop packaging. No way.
Gwyneth, no!
Right, cool. Well, listen, I'm going to move on because I feel like we've got the two stories, and I'm really interested in getting to the point where we have a little bit of back and forth between the HGs as I'm now calling you.
No, call us by our full name, please.
I don't think Gareth, as your lawyer, I really don't think you should call them by their team.
I just don't feel comfortable. Yeah. Yeah. Can I please just call you HG?
So over
just makes me feel a little bit more comfortable. I mean, someone might have just skipped the first bit and they'll just like think that I'm just sitting there going like, right, over to the, you know,
girls.
Yeah.
Said in harmony over there.
So HGs, as I'm calling you,
yeah.
Thank you. Right, what's the story? What are you pitching, which will ultimately be the final story in Corsair if it's good enough?
So it's a bit of a good news story as well. We've got the trailer for the live action version of Disney's The Little Mermaid. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was released this week. And Ariel has been played by Halle Bailey, not Halle Berry, who is a young black girl, and there's been lots of people that have taken to social media basically like showing blind reactions of their kids, young black girls that are watching it and seeing themselves on the screen. It's really sweet to see. And then there's the other side, which you've got some assholes on the internet that are doing hashtag not my Ariel. Well, he was saying that it's like
mermaids are white, they've always been white, they've always been magically underwater white, like,
yeah, that's
so confused. That's what's so confusing about it. It's like grown people are complaining,
yeah, yeah.
A made up thing, a mermaid, is not white.
Well, yep. I don't want to hijack it, but it's a similar thing in whatever the Hobbits thing is that's out at the moment.
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Lord of the Rings, Lenny Henry's in it. Rings of Power, there you go. Lenny Henry's in it, playing a fictional being, right? Same thing, it's like, these things don't exist, we all know they don't exist, and you've got people going in there going, source material says that can't be black.
It's this ridiculous.
Thing, whatever. That's it's called. Lenny Henry's in the new Lord of the Rings thing, the most expensive show ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How the fuck is wrong with that?
It's aligned with who's Premier
he?
Inn.
Yeah, who's he Batmaning?
Interestingly, he's the only person in it that I've ever heard of. Like, so they picked a load of.
He's the biggest star!
Yeah. Well, in my world.
He was the marquee like,
theatre actors and all the rest of it. But anyway, yeah, I don't want to hijack him, but it's the same reaction, yeah. It's the same response. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? These things don't exist.
Yes,
I mean, it's that season as well, because it's also happened in Game of Thrones where one of. Are they called the Targaryens? The. Mm-hmm. So there's a black Targaryen, and yeah. there's also people piping up about that.
Yeah.
Again, these are magical wizard dragon people, for Christ's sake.
Not to defend the racist, but I think the point is that Ariel, in some sense, does exist. And so it's not a new character that's been made up, and it doesn't make sense because no mermaids could possibly be black. They're saying it's just this particular one. But, I understand that's a very charitable interpretation of their viewpoint.
She doesn't. She existed as a white cartoon. Like, someone just decided to make it happen. Like, she happened.
Yeah, sure, but she still exists as a character. She's still a thing in the world.
Well, and it's the same thing about these Hobbit kind of things as well. Is like, it exists in a book, right? But
yeah, yeah. Also,
it's a fantasy character, so like, yeah. It can
and
be
also,
reinterpreted.
Like,
reinterpreted
also,
again,
like, exactly. I mean, I don't want to get too highbrow on it, but that's the beauty of things like Shakespeare. It's the fact that they get reinterpreted that carries these stories to new generations. It has to be, or else it won't last. It won't get told again. So we have to update things if we want old stories to still be told, right? Yeah. Does she look black? Like, she's not played by a black girl, she looks black.
Yeah, she looks black, she's got red locks, she looks so sick, she looks really cool. And it's been really sweet to just see the reactions of all these little girls that are just getting really excited and being like, oh my god, there's someone that looks like me on TV. So it's quite heartwarming.
I have to say, like, Disney knock it out the park all the time.
They actually do.
Like, people listening probably don't know, I've got an 8-year-old daughter, so I've watched a fair bit of Disney. And over the last probably 10 years, almost all of their films have had female leads, right? Mm-hmm. And loads of them have been people of colour, loads of them being from different cultures and communities. Yeah. And they smash it out the park. Mm-hmm. Like, Moana was a massive one because she wasn't Disney princess shaped. Mm-hmm. You know, she was like Pacific Islander kind of heritage and all the rest of it. And she was chunkier, in inverted commas, than your average sort of mm-hmm. Disney princess with a tiny waist and big boobs and bum and all the rest of it. And it was like, refreshing.
The point though. Do you think it's better, or does it not make a difference if it's, say, creating a new character to represent a group rather than taking an old character and just changing their ethnicity? Because, like, Black Panther is an example of that. Like, rather than making Superman black and kind of potentially making nobody happy, they invented a superhero to kind of represent, well, not represent the black community, but yeah, one, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And he had his own story and his own legend around it, and that was entirely his thing, compared to essentially changing something that somebody had made up before.
I think you need both, personally.
Yeah,
I mean, speaking as a white bloke, but I think you need both, because I think you need to sometimes challenge preconceived notions and perceptions and, you know, views that have been held in the past by going, you might have thought Ariel was white because we portrayed her as white 20 years ago or whatever it is, but she doesn't have to be.
Also, isn't The Little Mermaid based on like one of the Grimm fairy tales? Like, this is going back like hundreds of years. Yeah. Disney didn't invent her.
Yeah, and also that story is horrible. Like, the actual story is horrible.
Most of the Grimms are.
Yeah, they're dark. So, like,
Grimm.
It's already been changed so much, so what difference does it make now?
These guys are going to have to work hard so far to beat your story. So,
I was going
to
say, Matt, what do you think is more important than representation of the minorities?
I was literally sitting here thinking, okay, so we're now going to have to argue against little girls seeing themselves on the screen. Amazing.
But bear in mind that I'm the one making the decision, though, and I'm going to have to write this up, and I'm not very good at writing anything kind of too earnest or nice. So what that makes a difference.
What about saving the planet that we all live on?
I like it.
Yes. He's gone for mega inclusion.
I like it.
I'm getting booed. Booed to saving the planet. No,
he's gone full existential. I like it.
Gone bigger. Becky, hit him with it.
Okay, so now I am going to hit him with it, but you're going to have to help me out with how we pronounce this guy's name. Do you
Yvonne
know?
Yvonne Chouinard.
So he is the billionaire founder of the outdoor fashion retailer Patagonia.
Who's now an ex-billionaire.
Who is now an ex-billionaire because he's basically given the company over to these two charitable funds in the name of saving the world against climate change. So he's always, when he first started out, when they first started the company, they've always sort of wanted to do business differently. They've done a number of things over the years to kind of give stuff back and make sure that it's a really ethical brand. And he's kind of gone the next stage further. So he was looking at maybe doing like making the company public and a couple of other options. And he realized that none of the options were right for them. And so they've kind of created this new option, which is giving all of the profits beyond essentially keeping the lights on towards these two charitable foundations that are going to be fighting climate change.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool. He's actually
he's putting his money where his mouth is.
So most times this happens, it's for tax, right? It's because the founder of the company or the shareholders in the company, there's usually some kind of tax benefit to going profitable or whatever. They've actually, the family, because the company was owned primarily by the family and all the voting shares were. So there's like, the way these things are set up, right, you've got 2% of the shares of that company are voting shares. So the control of the company has also been handed over to a foundation, effectively. All the family members are part of that and their trusted advisors and all the rest of it. So the control of the company is held by a broader group who are all obviously pointing in the right direction from a climate change point of view. And then the profits of that company, the other 90%, 98% of the shares held, which is the usually stakeholders who would get a dividend or get some level of profit from the profits that that company makes, that now is the charitable foundation, which is ploughing all of that money into saving the planet.
Do we know what Patagonia is valued at? Do we know
numbers are all over the shop, right? So it says in the time, the New York Times article, it's $1 billion of sales, but it also says that the company's worth $3 billion. But basically, it makes about 100 million profit, clear profit, after taxes, all that kind of stuff a year.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would have gone to shareholders as dividends to, you know, all other people.
And he's staying on as CEO, is that correct?
He's 82 or something like that. He's
right. I think him and his family are kind of still overseeing. So the actual day-to-day running of the company, I think, is going to be kind of the same. It's just where the money's going.
It's a broader group of trustees rather than just them. And it's costing them to do it. It's costing the family, the shareholders in the family, $17.5 million to do this.
So one thing though, because you said he's not a billionaire anymore, because I saw someone saying his net worth is $1.2 billion.
Yeah.
Was that all in his shares?
That was all in his shares in Patagonia.
It's why
not that in cash in the bank.
It's why Elon Musk is currently the richest man in the world. He's not the richest man in the world. He's not. If everyone had to get their money out and put it on the table, it wouldn't necessarily be Elon Musk. It's just that, you know, when you added everything up together within the company, it should equate to the biggest amount.
He's famously said, like, he never wanted a company in the first place.
Yeah, no, he's a rock climber, yeah, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was a sort of a maverick rock
climber. It's so wholesome, this idea of him basically starting up, just making, like, climbing gear for him and his mates. And it's almost like you get this impression from the open letter that he's written that it's almost like sort of spun out of control. Like he's like, I kind of didn't see this.
Whoops.
Yeah, a little bit. So he's like, okay, well, this isn't what I set out to do in the first place. So I want to kind of like take the success that has come my way and exactly as we say, put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah. And even his grown up kids, so let's say he's 82, let's say his kids are in their 40s, 50s or whatever.
So what, if you're only 40s or 50s and you're waiting around for mummies and daddy's money to come and bail you out, fucking do one. They grow up, you've got get on with it.
They haven't done anything wrong.
No, this is the point. Like they actively like were part of that conversation and said, we don't want to, and the quote is nepo billionaires, like we don't want to become like rich people off the back of all of the work, and they're involved in the company in the day-to-day running, they work their asses off.
Yeah,
no
so
doubt.
Leave them alone.
Yeah, no doubt. But he looked at all kinds of options. He looked at all kinds of options to kind of almost get rid of this company. Couldn't find anyone he wanted to sell it to because he didn't trust anyone. You can't take it public and turn it into like a PLC or a, you know, incorporated in America, because when it goes to, then it, you have to make profits for your shareholders and all the rest of it, and you cannot legitimately make profits for shareholders who don't give a shit about the planet. All they're interested in is money, and you can't stick to the company value. So he didn't want to do that. It took them like 2 years to find a way to divest the company effectively in a way that he thought was going to carry on doing good stuff for the future. I think it's like, it's fucking brilliant.
So I think that, again, I think this is the future, because we spend so much time speaking to brands, trying to convince them the worth of putting your money where your mouth is and having purpose and really backing your purpose. And it's a battle with brands. And obviously the way the world's going means that everyone wants to be involved in that conversation. But this is a really good example of being authentically knee fucking deep. Mm. We're doing this. And I believe that businesses that do this will be making profit for the people that work there, will be covering their overheads, and will be super successful if we can agree on a way where we actually give back and look after the planet at the same time. Then there is a really, really rich industry in green industries moving forward that we're at the cusp of a really exciting time.
What it shows me is that you can be let's say it's a $3 billion company, like a massive global company, and still be good, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, we have this perception of global corporations as being bad, you know, really bad, and quite often they are. These guys have like stuck to their guns. They were the first ones to do the don't buy this jacket, yeah. right? It was an iconic sort of advert. They've done this sort of reuse and recycle thing for years and years and years now, where you send your kit in or buy old kit from them. They lobbied and then sued Trump's administration for the stuff that they were doing around indigenous, like North Americans and barriers, territories and all that kind of stuff. They've constantly lived by his and now the families and the broader company's values. And it's like, if more people can do that, the better. And like you say, we constantly talk to brands and go, have a set of values and live by it, and the money will come.
It's hard, yeah. though, isn't it? Because this is so obviously born out of sincerity, and it's a sincerity that's almost impossible to plan in that way. If you're having a conversation with brands, say, okay, so decide what you really care about and how you want to save the world, yeah. and then stick to that.
Yeah.
Even that, you can kind of develop that, I guess, but even that doesn't feel as sincere as this.
But the thing is, yeah, it feels sincere, but we also need pioneers to do this sort of thing. So, you know, how often have you seen Bill Gates bang on about, I'm giving my money away, bloody yada yada, Bill Gates Foundation. But at the moment, I don't see him putting his money where his mouth is. So it needs a pioneer to kind of go, look, this is the way forward. Are you going to follow? Are you going to walk this path?
I do think he recently donated $20 billion to charity.
I feel a bit sorry for Bill and Melinda Gates, because they get slaughtered, right, from the 5G crew. Nah,
that's the microchip talking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
they program them to talk like that, Matt.
It's my double vax, you know, listening to 5G radio and all that nonsense, right? It's fucking madness. I think he's one of the biggest, if not the biggest,
philanthropist in the world, yes. But exactly. He's also got the most fucking money. All right, Bill. Okay, so, like, it's always good to get back to Earth so that we can move forward. So, okay, all right.
We've got four stories on the table, right now.
We've got two stories in the
three
trailer.
And you're fucking James Bond, mate.
I think you should have both of ours.
Yeah, really cool.
I was going to say, you're probably right, but in the interest of the game that Gareth came up with a few hours ago, I don't think I can do that.
I think we're all winners here.
Well, okay, well, listen, look, let's just sort of walk us through it, right? These two stories are very feel-good. Both of them are feel-good stories. Both of them...
They can't have too much feel-good.
Well, no, but I like that. But they are, right? They're feel-good stories, okay? So... What the fuck was feel good about any of your stories? We were like, literally, you had a James Bond corn maze. Rubbish!
Sorry, but okay, this is it.
Yeah, I can turn the tides on my own ideas, James.
Okay, but this also isn't just feel good shit. Like, it's not just sort of six good news stories this week. Let's not just resort to that and I'll just put in, here's some puppies!
What else is it? It's corn mazes in Idaho or wherever the fuck it was.
Matt, have you not 28 acres? Of corn.
I do think that the packaging store. I thought that was quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Guys, out of the story that you just heard from about Patagonia and the boss, like objectively, your story about Ariel, which I think is a really fantastic story. What would you like? Which one of those do you think would make it great?
The Patagonia one.
Are you actually giving up on your...
No, I'm not giving up. They're both great, but the Patagonia one's just...
So, like now in the interests of, you know, I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling good, right? Who would agree that James's fucking corn maze goes all of these two stories today and we keep with Patagonia?
So, I didn't know you were going to come at me like this. I wasn't prepared. Why have you got a cob on?
We're falling
And for that reason alone, it's going in. The title's there.
I feel like James is part... This is his master plan. He's throwing a sacrificial lamb out there. Or maze, as it turns out. Because he knows that that's a dog shit story. And he knows that we're going to come to the table with some power.
Yeah.
I think he knew what was going on all along.
Yeah.
This is my opus, Matt. You see what I've done here. That we Gareth pitched this as two rival teams, and I've managed to bring you together against a common foe, which is me. And that, Gareth, is the most feel-good thing I could have done.
If people do want to go and read the landmark 400th edition of the Cool Shit newsletter, / extravaganza, / what was it, experience,
opus.
And now the opus. Mm. The opus. Where are they going to find it, James?
zacagency.com/cool-sht/.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Absolutely correct.
I was reading it.
It's taken us 22 episodes. Our own URL, right?
We're just trying to wrap up in Kyra. You were the kid at school that like packs up their like their pencil case like 20 minutes before the class ends. Kyra, just let me thank you for coming. Kyra, thanks very much for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's been so fun.
Okay, Gina, it's always a pleasure.
Thanks.
Jesus Christ, Team HG.
No story's not going in.
Yeah, that's it. You screwed it.
It's now HG singular.
There's only room for one hot girl anyway.
They've turned on each other.
See what you've done.
Right, okay, let's just get out of here. Becky, thank you very much. Matt, thank you very much. James, let's make this happen next week, yeah?
Yeah, we'll try. Don't get COVID and I won't either.
All right, thanks very much.
Bye. Bye.